Welcome to How Can We Help? Briefly forgot the title. The advice podcast featuring comedy, featuring two hosts, myself, Mark Little, and the effervescent, the inconsolable.
Yeah, oftentimes, yes.
Jackie Pirico.
If I can just jump into some advice hot off the top, it would be every time you're going to record the podcast, take one beat to just remember the title of it.
And that goes for all of our listeners.
And this goes for all of our listeners. Because I saw that flash in your eyes briefly. I think just because I know you by now. Yeah. I can tell when you're like looking for something in your head.
Yeah. Well, I was just briefly flashing back to one of my childhood traumas. So.
Oh, God. I hope it wasn't a bad one.
A little glimmer. No, it was one of those good traumas.
Oh, good, good, good.
Yeah. I remembered when I was bullied and took it well.
and immediately triumphed over the bullying.
Yeah, I remember the time I bullied and then immediately took the advice I'd been given to not let it get to me. And I bounced back so quickly, and even my bullies tipped their hats to me.
Yes, yeah. It was almost like you walked out almost like in a soul train, lined by your bullies.
Yeah, that's
danced
right.
Out.
Yeah, like the end of a Judd Apatow movie. Uh-huh. We all danced through the credits.
The final end of a Judd Apatow yeah. movie that never seems to be in the cards.
Yeah, like the 30th minute of the end of a Judd Apatow movie.
yes.
With us this episode, and we're so happy to have him. He's new. He's listen, we were pals with him when he was in Winnipeg, but now he and his goodly wife have moved out to Toronto to join us. It's Tim Gray.
Hello.
Tim, welcome, Tim. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you for having me on.
And thank you for having us here to do it at your beautiful home.
Oh, don't call it Dear Jackie. That's the dead name.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually extremely rude to call it that.
Bad start.
We thought it was that, and now it's How Can We Help?
Yeah, we've given the podcast name reassignment.
Yes,
surgery.
You know what? I was thinking today of a possible reassignment.
Oh, hit me.
Because we don't even know if we are helping, so maybe it's can we help?
Oh.
But that's just frivolous. That's frivolity.
We could make the how so small.
Yeah, can we help?
Like so small that people would think, why did they keep it in there?
Right.
Why didn't they just change the name?
And the answer would be, because it was Marky's idea.
Because it was my idea, and I'm proud.
Well, I guess the Marquis, for sure, that goes right up on top.
That's right. It's Marky's Marquis. Yeah. So as Jackie suggested, as she hinted at, we are currently not in Stefan, our producer's home, because Stefan is on vacation in Germany with his goodly wife. That is a place where goodly wives would be had.
Germany,
in
definitely.
Germany, I think
Yeah, that's where they're from. That's where they're made.
That's where they originated.
Yeah, I'm still not sure if I should be upset that you said goodly. I don't know.
But yeah, but like let's explore goodly. Yeah. It just means like
do you
someone
like
that's
that?
Doing a lot. I think it's good, but it also sounds really religious. Oh wait, it sounds like Mormon or something.
Mormon, yeah, definitely antiquated in a way.
Yeah,
goodly. I mean, there's nothing wrong with goodly.
No, well, nothing wrong with good.
I will
nothing
say,
wrong with being it.
I will say this about your wife: I've never seen her wear slacks.
That's
always
true.
In a long skirt?
Yeah. Well, yeah, always in a floor length skirt.
Yes. Yes.
And I have seen her do the sign of the cross on herself anytime she passes a woman in slacks.
Slacks.
That's right. And whisper that she's not in Winnipeg anymore. So that's what I mean by goodly.
Yeah, I can see it now. I am a wife. But I, even outside of a religious context, which I'm not, I wouldn't describe myself as goodly. Because I'm like as a goodly wife, you know, maybe there's a lot of nice stuff going on here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really innovative decor and making like a good home.
Mm-hmm.
My home is good, but like also I'm always like demanding rides places. I need to be driven places.
Yeah.
And like
yeah.
I need
yeah.
help like bringing stuff to the track. I've got a lot of returns to make, a lot of shops to go to. Yeah. A lot of shops and marts drive me there, drive me here. Oh, I need to sell some stuff like here or there.
Yeah.
I don't know, is that goodly? Sounds more of a burdensome wife.
Yeah, it sounds more like a needy child bride.
And I'm always like, I need $500. I need $500. Do you know who I'm talking about when I say that?
I need
$500.
What is that?
Remember Hillary, or was it Hillary from Fresh Prince? She's always like, Daddy, I need $500.
Right.
Yeah.
Because she loves to shop.
To shop till she drops. Mm-hmm.
An iconic character.
Retail therapy.
Iconic, gorgeous.
I still remember the episode, the main episode I remember of that show featuring Hillary was the one where she posed in Playboy. And then at the end, Will and maybe even the dad see the spread and she's like not fully nude. She's tastefully covered by clouds. And they both do a pantomime of relief. And it's, I remember even as a kid being slightly confused.
Yeah. It's so not sex positive. Also, like, why, like, if you're somebody you related to were happen to be in a pornographical
situation.
Pornly.
My
pornly wife.
You had a pornly sister. You wouldn't, or cousin. I mean, first of all, why would you look in the magazine and see the picture a second? Why would you do that on camera?
Yeah. On camera. Like the characters of Fresh Prince know they're on camera. Which occasionally Will did. They played fast and loose with that logic.
He did break the wall a lot. Yeah.
I just want to say that you did comment correctly. It's not sex positive, but it's really funny to me to make that a critique of Fresh Prince. Like, can you imagine if Uncle Phil was sex positive?
What a departure it would be from his character from to be sex pause.
This sort of conservative rich judge. But once in a while, he just surprises you.
Yeah, but he was kind of a horn dog to his wife sometimes. He got horny.
Yeah, he would kind of growl his tongue.
Sorry, what was the wife's name? Vivian.
Viv.
And then there's a whole story there. Mm-hmm. Remember, Viv 1 was callously replaced.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, she was one of the most talented women ever. Remember that scene where she's dancing? Like, she's like, I'm going to try
and dance
again?
One of the most talented women ever.
You haven't seen the dancing scene. Otherwise, you would say, Jackie, you're right. That is one of the most talented women ever.
What was the dancing scene?
She was like, I think her character had a dancing background or a sporty background.
Yeah.
And she wanted to get back into it. It was like a dance calisthenics kind of like group class. Mm. And she struts in. She's wearing this leotard. Looks absolutely dynamite. And she comes in. All these young girls are like, oh, hello, grandma. Like, hey, old lady. Oh, you think you're going to be able to keep up, old lady girl?
They're
and
like
she's like
her.
Feeling dejected at the top. And then she fucking kills it. Blows it out of the water so much that all the dancers separate as if it was like oil and water, you know? And then they all like just scatter and are watching in awe. She does this amazing too. Everybody dance now, right? I think was the song. And then she walks out and they're all like, oh my God. But then the comedy is that she leaves the door of the studio, closes the door behind her and collapses on the floor.
Oh, that is comedy.
But this dancing, she's amazing.
Yeah.
Viv 2 could never fucking do that if she, in wildest dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially not on camera.
If those cameras were rolling, she was famously camera shy.
Thank you for having us, Tim.
Yeah, of course. Welcome to my rented abode. Mm. It's a nice little palatial estate.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, it's such a nice estate. Tim is renting the entirety of Castle Loma.
That's right.
Toronto's only castle.
Toronto's only castle that you can hear, or maybe one of the only castles ever that you can hear the train rumbling by on DuPont. Very close by.
I will also say that it's probably the world's only castle with a pristine view of a neighborhood Tim Hortons.
I know that exact Tim Hortons, yes.
I was
on
wondering.
Davenport.
Yeah, it's always like lit up nice, and it's like, come to Christmas at the castle. And I looked it up, and it's like $60 to walk around a castle.
Excuse me.
Is it like I hope it's like the Halloween haunted house that they set up, but Christmas themed.
Yeah, I think
so. Or it's just like elves freaking you out,
grabbing your leg as you walk by.
Yeah, Mrs. Claus following you too close, making you wonder what the vetting process is for these people, how they're hired. That's when I went to their Halloween haunted house with Carlin. That's the thing that scared her. Like, it wasn't the jump scares. It wasn't like the spooky spiders and all the decor, which was cool. Mm. It was like, truly, there were some people, and she knew that the rule was that they couldn't touch us.
Right.
but there's some like rogue wanderers. And she was like, what's the vetting process?
Yes.
And some guys would follow us for a couple minutes and Carlin would get genuinely scared.
Right, because we don't know who these people are. Yeah. And we couldn't even describe them to management if we needed to.
That's right.
He's
that's
like
right.
A mask. A ghoul. He looked just like a... like a ghoul.
You're going to have to be more specific, sir. I went on a first date to that haunted house at Casa Loma once. Yeah.
I think that's probably a good idea for a first date.
Yeah, it was my idea because you don't really have to talk that much.
You don't have to talk that much. Yeah.
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 And it was fine. Didn't go on that many more dates after.
Mm. It was hard to keep up. It's hard to match that. Yeah. The intensity of that.
You shouldn't start that big.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid and we would go to Niagara Falls for like fun and shits and giggles for holidays. And my dad couldn't go in the haunted houses with us because he didn't trust that his reflexes, because he has these like really lightning fast reflexes that he wouldn't like punch someone out in the face.
That sounds like you're quoting your dad's description of himself.
No, I
like
know
you haven't
he does.
Formed your own idea about him. It's still you're 5 years old and your dad's like, well, the issue is my reflexes are too good.
He does
and I punch too
good.
Hard and I'm too good of a fighter.
Look, I'm not trying to be my dad's own PR. Or anything right here, but there was a rule in my house growing up, and my mom
don't sneak up on daddy.
It was don't sneak up on daddy.
Yeah,
like you wouldn't allow to go ha like to dad because he like he can't stop it.
Yeah,
I've seen it in action.
All right,
ask my mom. We're not trying to think he's so cool and tough.
Yeah, we fear him. Believe me, we fear him. And we always have. We always have.
And to tell you that more people have this than you may think, because my Uncle Steve did hit someone in the Niagara Falls. The haunted house.
Punched him over
punch
the falls.
Punched him over.
Yes, he was wearing a barrel, so he was fine. But it wasn't
God he had
good.
That emergency barrel on him.
It wasn't good behavior.
So yeah, there's a history in my family of punching out people in the haunted house.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a friend that did that. We went to a haunted corn maze when we were teens, and this person like popped out of a coffin, grabbed my friend by the collar, and my friend just lost it. Punched this person like 3 times in the face.
Oh my God,
three times. That's not reflexes anymore.
That's beyond reflexes.
Much. At that point, that's too much.
My three punches are as fast as one guy's one punch. So
that's what you need to know about my friend, okay? That he punches so fast. Three is like
it's
one.
It's a 3-for-1.
Yeah, it's a 3-for-1.
But now in defense of the, you know, not being critical of your friend here, but you do see a coffin in a corn maze. You got to anticipate something might come out of it.
Yeah, well, it reminds me of the time someone popped out at me just like off the corner and I hit him 2 times very slowly, explained what I was doing, then made him bite the curb, stomped him, and then I was like, ah, oh, you just got to know my reflexes. Hurled him into traffic. It was all just sort of one big fight or flight.
One fell swoop.
Oh, I was
something Tim has to know is that Mark has a bit of a curb biting kink, I think.
I keep talking about it.
Yeah, you do keep bringing it up.
I think it's because when I was a kid, American History X was a big movie, and there's that famous curb stomping scene in the
terrible
opening.
Scene. Yes. Terrible scene.
I watched that way too young.
Me
I think
too.
That's it. I think it burned itself into a lot of our brains. So.
Yes.
Yeah. So my, you know, it's like I have such a lively, strange relationship with the ideas of A, curb stomping, and B, ass to ass sex.
Yes. from
Requiem for a Dream.
ass to ass sex in the final act.
Yeah. Which now when I think about it, it's kind of like, oh yeah, it's probably just the kind of sex that people have. But in my mind, it's like forever connected with the idea of being taken advantage of by billionaires in a hotel room. Shall we give some advice?
We shall.
Sure.
How do I tell someone that they're really boring when they're on mushrooms? Like, they're great at the bar, a couple soda pops deep, but like shrooms in their system, it's like an old couch coming to life to complain about the carpet it's lived on rent-free for life. Thanks for the help.
Oh my God.
That's so good. Wow.
It's
interesting that this person's friend is on mushrooms so often.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they are easy to get these days.
They are.
You get yourself some Scooby snacks.
Yeah, but Scooby snack is like this sounds like this person is like concertedly or like definitively high on mushrooms.
Oh, right, maybe.
Right? Because Scooby snack just make you It's like having a couple of coffees.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like having a couple of coffees. You get, yeah, Scooby Snacks, you get a little bit alert, and then you get gut rot. I love starting my day with Scooby Snacks, but I can't have, you always hear people say, I can't
Scooby
have Scooby
Snack
Snacks
after
past
five?
Three.
Oh, no way, no way. I will not sleep.
I won't sleep. But the best part of waking up is one Scooby snack in your cup.
The only time I've, like, the handful of times I've done Scooby snacks, I, like, don't know if I'm high.
Oh,
I don't feel it, yeah. But I'm having a great time.
You might
time.
Just have to have more.
Some people just don't react to it. Like, are you doing the pills or the chocolates
like the
or the capsules? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe I need to do more. Maybe I need to do a big old handful. I need to crunch down a handful.
Yeah. I was microdosing.
I remember when
ago.
You were
remember
microdosing,
this?
Yeah.
I remember this too, because you were in Winnipeg at the time.
Oh.
Remember? You came, you were staying with us for the Improv Festival, and Dana and I were also microdosing. At the same time?
That's right. At the same time.
What a happy accident.
Yeah, so I was just like eyeballing my micro. So I didn't know how much I was taking. Yeah. I was not taking capsules. I was just literally every day I would break off a bit of mushrooms.
Oh, okay.
From like a bulb or whatever.
Yeah.
And a cap or a stem.
Right. caps are harder.
Right, that's what I've heard. But anyway, this all climaxed like one week when I got into a writing room. And I was a little bit intimidated, and but I was like, but I've got this secret. This is all before I just realized I needed anxiety medication.
Right. Yeah.
But I was like, that's I got so my funny. Secret weapon of microdosing that's going to make me feel socially comfortable. I'm going to riff and be great, you know. So day one did not go well.
Oh no!
And then I was like, I think the thing is, I need to microdose just a bit more.
Oh dear, you need to microdose on the verge of macrodosing.
Yeah, I need to dose.
Yeah, like just a plain dose.
Anyway.
But why didn't it go well? What did you think happened?
I think it was just like a bad fit, but really what was happening is that there would be like little moments where I would like pitch something and it would like kind of not gel with the vibe of the room.
Okay.
But then the mushrooms, far from elevating me to a point of being like, who cares?
Yeah.
We're just all partying together. It kind of made me focus on the paranoia
of
and the anxiety.
Of course.
Yeah. Which I didn't realize was like such an obvious flip side of that
like
coin.
One little thing goes wrong on a mushroom trip and it goes from the best trip to the worst trip ever. It could be nothing that happens for me personally.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like mushrooms. They're too unpredictable.
Right. Mm.
But then you started taking more and then...
More and more and more throughout the week. And then once that week was done, I was like, maybe I should figure out a new solution.
Mm. I remember, though, we were at Montreal Sketchfest together.
Mm.
It was an after party. I was mega dosed on other drugs. And then you told me that that's what you're doing. And I'm like, what does it do? What happens? But you said, it makes me... enter every encounter or meet everybody with absence of ego. Is what you
said. Yeah. It definitely is like an ego deflating drug, mushrooms, and acid.
Right.
Yeah.
But also a little bit unpredictable.
Yeah. I don't like drugs that can go from good to bad in too quickly.
Yeah.
Because
I was telling you this one time that like I met my friend's friend. Because I think all like the source of like. Truly, I've never like hallucinated. I don't want that from drugs. All I want is just to be in a social situation and feel comfortable and like alive and lively.
That's
a human right.
You shouldn't have to fight for that.
It's on my hierarchy of needs. My needs, just mine. But, you know, like just to be able to joke freely and not worry about like, which is like easy among friends, but harder among strangers. But anyway, this one time my friend's friend came up to me and, I was just like talking to him. I was on mushrooms. And then he kind of responded to me rudely. And it was the kind of thing that would like make me spiral. But I was on mushrooms. Like normally in the past, I would have been like, that guy fucking sucks. You know, like I just would have invented this whole narrative of this guy. But in that moment, because I was on mushrooms, I truly just, because you know, anytime someone's mean to you, like almost anytime someone's mean to you, it's they're overcompensating for their own social ineptitude or whatever.
Or a misdirected joke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know,
so in that moment, I was just able to go like, I truly felt like I was in the Matrix. And I went like, well, that can't be about me. He doesn't
know
me.
There you go.
And then I just asked him a couple more questions and then I broke through and I felt like fucking superhero.
That's great.
Oh, yeah. It's cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah. And he was like, you're cool, man. I'm like, you're not boring.
He said
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you're not boring.
Well, then I think you're the best poised to advise this person. This person's question is so funny. Like, yeah, they're cool when they have a couple drinks. They're obviously out quite frequently on mushrooms. Maybe my advice would be, because their question is, how do I tell them? How do I tell them? Mm. Maybe, I mean, this is the serious one. I would say maybe start like positive reinforcement of being like, oh, man, it's so fun hanging out with you when you're just drinking only drinks and not eating mushrooms.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Positive reinforcement is always code for passive aggression for you.
Yeah, or just like, I don't know what the best way, because certainly don't mention it to them while they're on the mushrooms.
No, that wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
I would say if I could give a little bit of advice.
Yeah, we're aching for it.
And I've done a lot of mushrooms and today. No, but I think in general, in mushrooms, I personally really don't like hanging out. If I'm taking mushrooms to feel the full effects of mushrooms, I do not want to be hanging out with people who aren't also on mushrooms.
So we're assuming that the letter writer here is not on mushrooms.
Yeah,
I'm assuming.
May well be true.
That's what I'm assuming too. Yeah. And if they're not on mushrooms, I think an easy path to their victory in that conversation is just to say, you know, when you're on mushrooms, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Then it makes it about themselves, and they're not addressing the actual issue of the person.
Yeah,
being
but maybe that's
boring.
A delicate way.
You gotta
way.
Make it about yourself. You gotta make it about yourself.
Maybe say, "Oh man, I wish I did mushrooms, because then I could be on your wavelength." But I feel like I'm like not on your wavelength. Or maybe say, "I'm sorry. Am I too much?" Maybe you could say, put a stark spotlight on their boringness by saying, "Sorry, I feel like I'm being too much. I feel like I'm being too effervescent and entertaining."
Yeah.
Am I freaking you
it's
out?
So crazy. I feel like every time you're on mushrooms, I'm so, relatively speaking, exciting and fun.
And then make it about their own comfort.
I hope you don't think that I deserve a conversation companion who is bringing as much to the table as I am, because that's not how I feel at all. I just think it's weird.
Like, it's their own comfort. I'd be like, am I making you uncomfortable by being too like energetic and loud and talkative?
Yeah, sort of.
Because
like,
you're very, you seem subdued or something.
Is it embarrassing that or is it bad for you that I'm sort of like the social ideal right now? And you're kind of
is that ruining your high? You know what? Yeah. But the obvious answer to this is that you, the writer, has to start doing mushrooms with them.
That's not the obvious answer. The obvious answer is...
That's the obvious answer. You have to start eating. Every time you know they're on mushrooms, you have to be... you have to be on mushrooms too in order to deal with, like, get through it.
Yeah, like that's... Like anytime my coked up uncle tells me about crypto, I realize that the only thing I got to do is start doing
you
coke
should
with
be
him.
Doing
and
lines.
And then tell him about, the online... grifts I know about.
Oh, okay. Here's another solution for the writer.
Yeah. Just don't hang out with them. That's the solution.
No. You must. You can't. You can never relinquish any friend or acquaintance. Okay. No. You have to get a bunch of like stickers printed that have like.
Oh my God! It's Calvin peeing on mushrooms.
and
Calvin's wearing a shirt
strategically
that says
normal
beer. Just normal getting drunk beer.
No,
I was all over mushrooms. Any hallucinogens?
I was gonna say get a stickers printed that have like a red circle with an arrow, inside that is a mushroom. So it's like no mushrooms. And get to the bar a bit early before your friend. Stick it on the door, and then they get there. Are you on mushrooms? We can't go there. I'll see you next time.
Did you see that sticker when you came in? No, I never look at stickers.
No shoes, no shirt, no normal beers.
Then the friend would be like, "Hi, that's funny. I love those jokes." Stickers. Anyway, you want to do some mushrooms? And you'd be like, fuck. I'm pretty sure that one's not a joke.
I spent $1,000. Yeah, that would be thousands of dollars.
But it's right next to the sticker that says ass, gas, or grass. And then you realize you're caught. I think that one's not a joke either. I think those are the three ways you pay for beer in this bar.
We are not riding for free tonight. What's your advice, Mark?
Don't hang out with them.
That's it. But how do you know if they're going to be on mushrooms or not? Sometimes people just show up. You don't know. You can't ask them.
Well, that's an extra level, and that is an interesting point. Because that's the extra level. Because I feel like if they're showing up on mushrooms just to hang,
That's an issue.
But that
already
does sound like that is how people do mushrooms nowadays.
Yeah, they just do them. You're right.
Do them. Yeah. So if that is what your friend's doing, I mean, if you've set out for an entire night and then your friend does some mushrooms and you're like, oh my God, we're an hour into like what I thought was gonna be like a 4-hour night. It's hard to just pull the chute and be like, going home, enjoy your mushrooms.
Alone.
You dull toad.
Exactly.
I think, okay, so you always have these clever ways of avoiding the topic.
Yeah.
And I think I've got to be the representative for honesty.
Yeah.
I think you got to say, and I don't think you say, when you do mushrooms, you're as dull as a couch complaining about the carpet.
I love that analogy so much.
I don't understand what it means.
A boring couch come to life. Or like, well yeah, you know what? Maybe this person is like kind of entitled in other areas of their life. We don't know.
The idea of a couch paying rent to live on a carpet. Now that's a good tax-paying couch. I wouldn't complain about that couch no matter how dull it is.
So you're on an honesty tip here, and you want to say...
I believe in brutal honesty. Well, maybe not brutal, but like soft honesty. Mm. I think I would say, listen, I feel like when we hang out and we're drinking, it's cool, it's fun, we're on the same wavelength. Uh-huh. I'm going to slip in some of your lie here.
Okay. You always have to put the smack of a lie.
You're right. I can't avoid it. And maybe if I was doing mushrooms with you, I'd be on your wavelength.
But that could be true, too.
And it could be true, yeah. But like when you do mushrooms and I'm just drinking, I don't know. It feels like we're on different wavelengths, and sometimes I feel like socially it's like it doesn't feel good for me.
Yeah.
The conversation doesn't flow right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just on two different pages. We're having and then it feels like we're not sharing the same night, and it's not enjoyable for
right.
me.
Right.
Could we maybe when we go out for drinks just drink?
Just drink.
And then if we want to do mushrooms some night, we just do
mushrooms. We'll do them together or do them otherwise. Yeah. Or and then you could even try to make it sound very organic if they're like, "Oh yeah, I'm
you're weaving in another new lie." No, I like it. No, a more elaborate
ruse.
No,
it's to choose your timing because to come out of the blue and say, listen, can we have a talk?
Yeah.
It's so much more serious. Maybe you wait till they're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do some mushrooms tonight. Wow, rock and roll. Maybe then you say, oh, no way. Don't come on. Don't do them because you know then we're not on the same page. Make it sound like it's so spontaneous.
Maybe you convince the bartender to come over. You talk to, like, you pay the bartender early.
Okay.
And then he comes over right when you sit down.
Direct, brutal honesty.
And the bartender comes over and says, ugh. I was hanging out with my friend who was on mushrooms the other night.
Boring.
I don't like it when people do that. Yeah. And I'm not on them. I'm just having a drink and you're on mushrooms. Yeah. Anyway, what can I get you guys? Yeah. Beers only, fellas. We don't
normal beers only. Yeah. We've got a special tonight on normal beers only. Or pay the bartender
We got
to
beer,
say,
we got mushrooms, said no one ever. We only sell beer. Why would we sell?
Pay the bartender to say, oh, have you guys heard? There's been a recall on all mushrooms.
There's fentanyl in mushrooms. Now that's the place they're putting it now. I don't know how they got it in there, somehow in the soil,
dunking it into in the nitrogen.
But
yeah.
Anyway, I wouldn't touch that stuff. Beer's still good, and the cocaine's fentanyl free. You got me. Yeah.
Hire an actor with a coke problem,
get
him a job as a bartender.
Hope that he says the mushroom part and then really hope he doesn't overstep his bounds and start riffing into the coke's fine territory.
First of all, you have to get the current bartender that works there fired.
Yes.
And then you get your friend who's an actor and
to
a coke
get
problem
an actual
to get
job.
The job as a bartender there.
He's got to work enough shifts that he's become a sort of an institution friend recognizes.
Yes, it can't be his first shift that he's saying this.
No bartender on his first shift would have the balls to intervene
Never.
Like that.
Establish a rapport.
If he did, you wouldn't trust him.
No, of course not.
You'd be like, oh, this is a maniac.
That's right.
So this is your brutal honesty tactic.
Yes.
No, mine is actually...
Just talk,
okay. But get him early in the night. Get him early in the night before...
Before he drops the mushrooms.
They drop any mushrooms, right?
Mm-hmm. I would actually say this. Mine is go for a coffee and make it a designated
conversation.
Okay.
About. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds scary.
I know it is scary. Anything worth doing is scary.
You're right. Yeah. Oh,
yes,
bare naked
I'm quoting
ladies.
The Casa Loma Haunted House. But I think it applies.
You're always quoting the Casa Loma Haunted House.
Yes, we vet our employees.
These it's are on the brochure.
Just to touch back on castles for a moment before we move on to the next to the next question.
Please.
If you want, maybe I could see this being a more of a better value of a castle trip.
Yeah.
You could visit Dundurn Castle in Hamilton.
Dundurn.
You never heard of Dundurn Castle?
No.
There's Dundurn. Another castle, honey.
What?
it's outside of Hamilton. And I remember we went there for like my family always went on these like day trips. And we went to Dundurn Castle, and I brought my best friend, who's still my best friend to this day, Jen, to the castle. And you walk around, you see all the old people, and they're kind of dressed up. And then you go to the basement where, like, there was all the old cooks. That's where the cooks would be or whatever. And the kitchen. And they were making cookies the same way that they would have been making cookies, like, back in whatever year.
Oh, poorly.
Yeah, exactly. So fucking poorly.
Slowly, badly.
So, slowly, badly.
Tastes like
the
shit.
Only sweet thing was, like, maybe molasses in the world.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're passing out these cookies. And my dad's on the other side of the room. And this woman coming with her, like, fancy dress and giving us these cookies. And me and my friend Jen. And I was not a picky eater. But this thing had to have just been a ball of cloves and molasses or something. Like, a kid's not gonna like that.
No.
And I remember taking a bite, and like immediately my like mouth was like, no, no, no. And I look at my friend Jen, and she's like, like, no, no, no. And my dad saw it. He was watching us and waiting for this to happen from across the room, and he beelined towards us. He goes, spit it out.
Oh.
And we went, blah, blah, and spit our cookies in his hand because he knew we were going to puke.
And then a Catholic priest came and took it out of your hand and put it into one of those scepters, lit it on fire, and shook it around the congregation. You went, there, oh, there it is. Here's my ball of sweet cloves.
I thought you were going to say that somebody, one of the cooks, tapped my dad on the shoulder and he spun around and punched them in the face.
I wish I had the wherewithal.
Bake that, motherfucker.
Don't sneak up on him at the castle.
All right, let's do another question here.
Okay. Can I say one more thing about mushrooms?
Oh, please.
Yes.
Is that there are like five or six different main strains of mushrooms.
Okay.
And they all have different effects. So maybe this person is boring, but if they're fun on beer, there could be a different strain of mushroom, like a Blue Meanie or a Golden Teacher, where they become more fun.
Holy shit! This is the best fucking advice I've ever heard.
Because some are meant to make you introspective, and thinking in your brain, and some are meant to make you just euphoric and giggly.
Oh.
And visually stimulated.
Okay, this person needs to research them and say to their friend, "Hey,
yeah.
You ever thought about switching it up from the dowager to the to maybe trying the golden giggly goo goo doll?" Or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, yeah. Maybe stop buying the strain The Widow's First Day Alone. And start buying Young Peppy's First Holiday
Young
Abroad.
Peppy peppercorns pep in your step. Yeah. First Day Abroad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby peppercorns surf vacation.
Not Uncle Dying Alone.
Uncle Sad's long trip to hell. I don't want that.
Uncle toils with unemployment.
Yeah. So that's great advice. Great advice. Yeah.
Find the right strain
you. Find the right strain. It was right in front of our faces all along.
Yeah. It would. You can treat it like you do like weed or CBD. Like I remember like when I was a kid, it was just like all weed made me paranoid. But now it's like cool because I can tailor it. I can either get the weed that makes me paranoid or the weed that does literally absolutely nothing. I don't feel it at all until I take just enough of it that it makes me paranoid. So, you know, it's nice. It's like entered kind of a broad.
There's, I'm the same way. Like, there's no weed I can do. I don't care what anyone fucking tells me. If it's indica or sativa or will it lets you sleep or whatever. No. It all does the same thing to me.
Yeah.
I feel dumb. I feel like I'm stinky. I feel like I have white stuff around my lips and that my hair has chip crumbs in it. I can't look anyone in the eye. I just want to go home and be alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, weed makes me feel the least confident I could possibly feel on the planet.
You become a nub.
Mm. Yeah.
You become an absolute nub.
Yeah.
But that's what they say. They say indica in the couch, right? Because you're trying to say indica in the couch. And then sativa, that's TV I'm watching while I'm in the couch.
but I can't focus on it because I can see them all acting.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what weed does to me. I can see the people acting and I can't watch it.
Somehow what they're reflecting is how unconvincing I am just in my day-to-day life with friends and strangers alike.
All right, what's our second question?
It's a biggie, Jackie, and this one's just for you.
Oh, God.
But we'll weigh in. Now that I am in my late 30s, so many people my age are turning to fillers and plastic surgery to change their appearance and look younger. What is your take on this? I've never even done teeth whitening, but I like to get my nails done.
Huh. That's nice. That is fun. Yeah.
I also have a lot of tattoos, and this is basically the same thing. Should I get Botox to deal with my wrinkles or just be all natural? I do think it is probably out of my price range, and I have a young daughter at home, and I don't want her to think she has to change to fit into any beauty norms. How does one tackle these tough questions?
They're so tough. They're such tough questions.
Tough questions.
Coming from somebody who does get those things, I do get Botox.
Yeah.
And I have had fillers in my lips.
A couple tattoos injected into your lips.
I've had tattoos injected. No, that's the rumor, but no, I have actually just had tattoos injected into my normal skin.
I've heard that too. Good to know. Okay, cool.
Did you hear that Marilyn Manson had two of his tattoos removed so that he could see his own ribs?
The ribs underneath the tattoos?
Yeah, they were on. They were covering his ribs, and he was sick of not seeing his ribs.
I understand the. And this isn't going to be a funny answer because I do think this is a very important question.
Right.
I understand the thing about being like, you know what? And okay, the reason that we feel like we need to get these things as women, but as anyone, but as women especially, is because we're not allowed to age like men are allowed to age. We're not allowed to age.
I won't let a woman age like me.
Like. Specifically like you.
If a woman's going to try and age like me, she has to give me a good long runway to let me. Because if I get surprised by that, that's when I start
swinging.
She has to
defend it.
That's when my...
Don't sneak up on Mark with your aging.
A wrinkle should not sneak up on me.
And there's something to be said about aging naturally and not buying into this fucking patriarchal complex of this and that.
Yeah.
Of course. But for me... The reasons I did it is because I was personally spending so much fucking money on all these serums and hyaluronic acid serums and this and that, or a tingly lip gloss that will plump your lips. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fucking dollars down the drain for topical things that don't work because they cannot work.
Yeah.
That's not how skin works.
Yeah.
And so the Botox, it is pricey. It's you get it every few months. It's a couple hundred dollars a time. But I don't spend money on all of this other crazy shit now. A few hundred dollars
like
every time.
Tattoos are really expensive.
Tattoos are very expensive. And so I like it. The Botox is something that's so noticeable. People are like, oh my goodness, you look great. Or I've had girls say recently to me, oh, you've got great skin. Mm. It's because I know it's fucking because of that.
Uh-huh.
And it makes me, okay, sweet. I don't mind spending my money on that.
Yeah.
But the first time I ever did it, I cried because I'm like, is this what I've resorted to? Like, is this me now? Like, this is how much I hate myself that I've resorted to putting poison into my fillers. Aren't poison, the fillers are just hyaluronic acid, which is a naturally occurring thing that our bodies create anyway.
Oh, okay,
so they're not like dangerous. It's not a but Botox is a toxic chemical,
yeah,
or whatever. It's botulism.
Oh,
yeah, that's what it is, and it freezes your
muscles.
Where
does it come from?
You're not going to believe this, but it's yet another thing that Thomas Edison created.
But Tesla almost did it, but then he ripped it away from Tesla.
Tesla was so close to finishing his botulism coil.
But there's therapeutic reasons to get Botox, too. Like, I've had it in my jaw before for my teeth grinding. Didn't help, because I've got such a robust clench and grind in my jaw. I'm so anxious that even the Botox was no match for it. But I say to people that ask, because people... My friends ask me about this too.
Yeah.
Don't ever feel like you have to, because I never look at any other person in my fucking life, women my age, and say, oh, no, what she could use a little bit of. Oh, no, what she needs. She needs some Botox or she needs this. I would never think that. It was purely for myself.
Yeah.
I get it for myself and I like it. But I say, you know what? Like if you're altering your body, and I love getting my nails done too, and if you're dyeing your hair, you're getting your nails done, getting tattoos, it's not that far of a step. I love the difference it makes on myself. But I'm telling this writer that nobody... and that matters, or no one that's looking at you is looking at you thinking that you need this. So if you want it, it's only because you want to see what it's like. And also, it goes away. Botox goes away in like 4 months. So if you don't like it, Don't worry, honey. It's gone. Believe me. I wish it wasn't. Because I had to go all the way to Hamilton for mine.
Yeah. To the castle. Where they churn the botulism. The old way. And it's just cloves.
Cloves and molasses.
Like barely any botulism.
Yeah, what's your take, guys?
I mean, I get back lengthening procedures because I'm a 5'7 guy and girls don't look at me.
Back lengthening.
Have you heard about this?
Yeah. I've heard of leg lengthening.
Maybe I'm thinking of leg lengthening.
Yeah, they like break your shins.
They break your shins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shins, yeah. That's
I love that.
Didn't, what's his name?
You
get
love
that?
That?
Bezos
got that.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I would love that. His legs shattered
and then longer.
I would kill for like 2-3
Bezos should just
inches.
Go full Krang. He should just slice his head off or just melt his skin away, just put his eyes on a brain and then just walk around in the body of a big oaf.
That poor oaf. I would love to have known his like benefits package or whatever he had going for him.
He was too stupid to know what he was for.
He's taking advantage of. Yeah. But one last thing about the lips too is people are like, oh my God, you got your lips done. Or like my brother saw a video of me. He's like, yo, he messaged me. He's like, yo, did you get your lips done? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, oh, LOL. I'm like, well, do you like them? Not like I care what he thinks. But my defense of getting my lips done is that I didn't get my lips done. I purchased a set of lips. I didn't have lips. And I bought lips. You I didn't have lips to get done. I bought lips.
It's like a lip kit.
Yeah. Because my family famously, me and my dad famously have no upper lip.
Right.
Well, now I got one, honey.
Yeah.
I'm going against my generational trauma by purchasing the lips.
Yeah, that is an example.
But you can go too far, and this is my last thing of advice because I have so much to say about it. If you're going to get fillers, Botox doesn't change the shape of your face. But if you're going to get fillers, take a picture of yourself when you first get them done very subtly and take a picture of yourself and don't stray in the future from what that looks like, because it's easy to get dysphoria,
right?
And then that's why you see people with fucking crazy faces, because it always has to be a bit more than last time. Don't let yourself take a picture of yourself for reference and never stray from how you looked when you felt like.
I think the only time that I'm like, ooh, because you know, like it looks good on you, and this is just my humble opinion, it looks good on you because you are already also young. But whereas, like, when I see it on like Nicole Kidman, for example, and this is not fair, but I feel like I'm like, maybe my brain is just not evolved to the place where I can be like, do you, girl? Because like no, not fully.
You're not sex positive. Who are you, Uncle Phil?
It just looks like everyone just looks a bit like wonky in the same way. Right. Like at a certain age, all these Hollywood actresses, and I understand the pressures to like stay young and all that, but I'm like, even Nicole Kidman wouldn't be able to get roles without this. Like all I see when I look at like Nicole Kidman is I'm like, ah, even when you're that beautiful, the system gets you.
But she dialed it back a bit because she was one of the early adopters of Botox, and that's when before they really knew the dosages and stuff. She was fucking frozen badly,
right?
And like tight and frozen, but she's not as bad anymore.
And what's her name from
Courtney Cox?
Courtney Cox.
Yeah, no.
Friends.
Cox, Courtney.
From Friends, Scream. Last name Cox. Brother David. From The Diary.
Anne Frank?
yeah. No, Bridget.
Of course, Renee Zellweger.
Renee
Zellweger.
She went swung hard.
You got to see her journey. It got wild, and then, But recently she dug it back and she looks more like a
her.
Yeah. Yes. And I love that piece of advice of like, do it for you, right?
Yes.
Because I think we all get obsessed with the idea that we're being judged or perceived from other people when honestly, like if we think about it, 99% of our own brain power is critiquing ourselves,
absolutely,
not others.
Yes.
So do it for you, and if you have a young daughter, maybe you can harness some of that young flesh.
Yeah, do leech therapy with your daughter's blood.
Oh my God. Well, I feel like we gave some good advice here.
I think
so. I mean,
better than ever, actually.
Really, what it boils down to is Jackie knows exactly what you're talking about. And she,
what
it boils down to is I think what we came to was do it for yourself, but oof, with the kid involved, that's tough.
It is tough. but also you can be upfront or you don't have to be upfront. My nurse tells me that there's women that go in there and their husbands don't even fucking know they do it.
What?
Yes, which wild. Blows my mind.
That's well, wild.
We husbands,
we only look at boobs.
Yeah, you walk in the door and they're just like, yeah. Ooh, you're like, auga.
It would be so funny if
I'll take two of those. I'm
just picturing me only looking at my girlfriend of 8 years' boobs.
Boobs.
These were really juicy questions.
If you think those are good, though, wait until you get our final question. Ooh. It's our celebrity advice question.
Oh, yes.
For our final segment, celebrity advice. So we are fortunate enough to already have a network of celebrities who write us with their big celebrity questions.
Yeah.
And this one is a doozy. Ooh. Dear Jackie, I've always wanted to make a dead guy alive again so bad.
Oh, no.
I'm a scientist, and I think that would rock. So I collected some body parts and put them together or something. Maybe I just dug up one corpse. I can't remember. And I used electricity to bring this guy back to life. But then he got scared and took off, and the village is so mad about it.
Oh, my God.
Like,
oh,
torches shit. Mad. Did... I think he maybe killed a girl and a blind guy for his violin. Did I make a mistake? Signed, Dr. F.
Oh, my God.
So that is a message from our favorite celebrity doctor friend, Dr. Frankenstein. Doctor,
okay, well, the only way I could describe him at this moment is hot mess.
Hot mess.
Yeah, we have to say hot mess.
That is a hot mess.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Almost a dumpster fire, as some would say.
This guy's in ginormous trouble.
And frankly, and making that Frankenstein is so random.
It's random, but also it is cringe. And I think it's bordering on an epic fail. What do we think? Has he made a mistake?
If I was a guy with a violin or a little girl, I'd say that's a resounding yes.
Sure.
Yes.
But if you were an egg that got broken to make an omelet, you might think that was a mistake. But an omelet got made.
And delicious omelet.
Yeah.
Okay, so sorry. What was his main goal here? Why did he want to make the person just to prove that he could be like a god? Or
I mean, in this case, he hasn't totally explained it, but I think he says I'm a scientist, and I think that would rock.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But I think he thinks it would rock. Infer that no one has ever done that before.
No.
I think my first advice is before we get to all of the implications and the more social interpersonal consequences of this would be take a look in the mirror and ask yourself truly. Why would that rock
why
for you?
Rock?
Oh.
Yeah, because we're thinking this is ego.
Why aren't, that's a good, I do think it's ego.
Yeah.
Why aren't you satisfied doing medicine that will simply help people?
Yeah.
Why do you, or
why do you have to make a whole new person that's going to have to be helped?
Yeah.
Right.
You've already got enough people that are sick. You're going to make a new person who will probably get sick, especially if they're made out of sickly ailing corpse parts.
Yeah.
But sometimes I would just to play devil's advocate on his behalf, sometimes we just make inventions and then we don't know. We just push science forward for its own sake, but then unintended consequences, maybe it's new medications could arise from it,
Or
is it the value in pushing science forward for its own sake?
Yeah. You know what I would love if Dr. Frankenstein was just trying to get this kind of new kind of clinic off the ground and this was going to be his kind of marketing move and spokesperson and it's just like,
my clinic. He's at the bank getting the loan for his clinic and this worked and he goes,
and then you see
Frankenstein running by in the background chased by torches. Just holding the corpse of a little girl, and Dr. Frankenstein goes, "I'll show myself."
I was telling you the other day, I just finished watching Dr. Death. Do you know of this? It was a podcast on Wondery, and now it's like a series with Joshua Jackson and Alec Baldwin. True story about this maniacal, very bad, malpracticing, just this freak neurosurgeon
in
Texas. In the early 2000s, but so much of the medicine down there is trying to get surgeons are kind
of
like rocks. Yeah, he did kill people. Yeah, and like maim them and turn them into quadriplegics and
all this.
He was just so bad. He was like dyslexic, dumb, had like two left feet. He didn't know his left
couldn't
or right hand.
Dance couldn't hold a conversation.
But he was slightly charismatic, but he really couldn't. Someone was like, "I'm like, okay, show me your left hand." He was like, And he's like hammering in people's spines. But like,
how did he get a doctor's license?
Because of the how bad the system is down there.
Privatized.
How like hospitals just want to make so much money, and neurosurgery makes a lot of money.
Yes.
But in this, he was trying to get like his own kind of state of the art, kind of like cool like lasers, clinic running. Yeah. And he's like kind of a rock star. So I would love if this Dr. F did that.
Where people want to hang out even after their surgery.
Even after their lumbar fusion, disc fusion surgery. There's cran cocktail. There's like cosmos.
We got cran. We got cran cocktails. We got just cosmos. Sauce of cran. The list goes. We do have that cran.
But anyway, no, I think it was a mistake to do this because I think it was ego driven, and I think that next time you have that impulse to do something so ego driven as dig up a corpse and stitch it onto other body parts, and electrify its brain to bring it to life.
Sure.
Just think about the other people that you're going to disrupt and harm and possibly kill.
Yeah, think about the other people you're going to disrupt.
Yeah.
So you would say that potentially, if granted the opportunity to make this creature a bride, you would not endorse making this creature a bride.
Well, I think at this point, the horse is out of the, what is the word? The barn door is open.
Yeah. Toilet.
The horse has left the barn or whatever.
Yes.
And now maybe that's the only thing you can do, because otherwise he's for sure an incel.
Where else are you going to go?
And he's going to, you know, do something really crazy.
Oh, yeah. It's strike one to create a monster from hubris.
But
strike two is to not give him something to fuck. Because then you've made an incel monster.
And then you've made
hubris.
An incel, like on top of that, he's an incel, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So Frankenstein created this monster out of a bunch of different human parts. So like, how many penises did he look at before he picked like the one?
I should say that in the letter.
Great question.
In the letter, to quote the letter, I collected some body parts and put them together or something. Maybe I just dug up one corpse. I can't remember. So just to be clear, it might have been just one body.
But it would be great to see all these holes dug it up and then he's just like, no, not that one. Yeah. Like Goldilocks.
Yeah. 6 feet deep just to the groin. No. Just a bunch of holes dug to just the...
Just at the groin
just
level.
The crotch. Just the corpse crotch.
I gotta assume that none of them were looking that great after all that.
I can't imagine.
No.
But how do you feel about corpses? Like, once a person has passed away,
right?
Do you feel like that corpse should be honored, and do you feel like it should be, or do you feel like the person is gone?
So whatever,
I don't care.
And that lump of flesh should be returned to the earth.
I mean, maybe I would feel differently if I lost someone really close to me.
Sure.
And still haven't.
Sure.
I think that if a person chooses to be buried,
yes,
because they're like afraid of cremation,
sure,
then we got to leave wishes. That corpse alone, because if they don't want to be cremated, they certainly don't want someone peeking at their dick and using it for their Frankenstein.
If someone wants to peek at me and revive me and do whatever the fuck they want
you
to
don't
me
mind.
When
yeah.
I'm dead, I do not
You're on
mind.
The record for that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
When I was reading,
so you're going to donate your body to science then?
No, no. I want scamps and rogues to find me with ill intent. I don't want scientists. I don't like big government having my body.
Yeah, big pharma.
I like little scamp. Little pharma.
I'm gonna donate
my body.
Operation.
I want to give my body to a mom and pop's pharmacy around the corner from my place. Could you guys do anything with this? No, you mostly just sell Tylenol?
Okay. On the shelves that are like cream colored shelves with little holes in them, like the metal shelves.
Yeah.
I don't want to be buried because that freaks the shit out of me. I don't want to be in the ground with bugs and centipedes.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather be cremated.
Cremated?
Because I just don't want, I don't want to be buried. Like, ooh, that's so claustrophobic.
Do you want ashes distributed somewhere? Or do you
I think.
Canada's
in the
Wonderland.
Belly of Dundurn Castle.
Dundurn Castle.
Or maybe Canada's Wonderland. Maybe put in one of those little lookers from Canada's Wonderland. I don't know about cremation, but I certainly don't want to be buried. Maybe I want to be like, put me in a, like, I don't know.
Barrel?
No, freeze me. I don't want to die.
I want my bones. I want someone to have my bones.
Fine, I'll take your bones.
Yeah.
Do I have to look at them every day, or can I just put them in a fire safe box?
I want a friend to feel obligated to hold on to my bones for a bit. Someone like, will come get them soon.
Oh, like, so you're going to, like, because, like, you're not just immediately bones when you die. No, so there's going to be some liminal period. No,
yeah.
Yeah. You'll leave you on the beach with a cage over you so the animals can pick your flesh up.
Crabs.
Until you're clean to the bone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then bleach those bones.
Yes. I didn't realize, but they do have to be bleached, don't they?
Have you been to the museum here in Toronto that's the
body exhibit?
The bones museum?
No.
No, you're talking about the Bada Shoe Museum? They have bones now?
The Bada Bone.
The Bada Shoe Museum is mostly bones now. They're not advertising
they've
it.
They sold out, obviously completely sold out.
Okay.
I'm mad at them. I tried to get a job there and they wouldn't let me.
Oh.
Meaning they wouldn't hire me.
Prehistoric Museum and Skull Store Oddity Shop.
Yeah, that's not
real. Oh,
my
God.
Real.
It's 100% real.
What street is it on? Let me guess, DuPont.
Oh, let me guess, Bones Avenue. It's not real, Tim.
It's on Dundas Street East, and they have some of the most insane...
Say no more.
Bones there. A friend of mine went recently and was telling me all about it. They have taxidermy giraffe.
Oh,
they
my
have a
God. Tax,
like a whole bunch of taxidermy stuff.
I want to go to this place.
Me
and
too.
They have like human skulls. And there's one that the human skull, it's turned into a lyre, like one of those like stringed instruments.
Oh my God, from the medieval times.
You can play a fucking human skull instrument.
Okay,
there.
That's what I want to be turned into. I want my bones to be turned into a recorder.
Oh my God. I want to be turned into a lyre or a mandolin so that a nerd can play
Oh my God. A nerd playing a mandolin? More like a hot country bluegrass guy.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're saying the same thing.
I don't know. I think, like with Frankenstein, he made this monster.
Yeah.
It worked. It came to life.
It did work.
You know, when Tesla was making the electric car, they crashed a few.
Right.
So maybe this is just part of the step in the right direction. You know, don't cry over spilt milk.
If Tesla had given up but after just their first car, Elon Musk never would have gone on to colonize Mars and populate it with only his own children.
Yeah.
And to mate with various women who look like children of him.
Yeah, like otherworldly alien children.
Yeah.
So just think about that.
Yeah, you got to break a few eggs.
Yeah. You know, Dr. the next F. time you are thinking, Dr. F,
this anonymous Dr. F. Yeah.
Dr. F, I think the message we're giving you is... hustle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hustle. And hustle. Don't let a single failure get you down.
Yeah.
Because Rome wasn't built in a day.
That's right.
And Michael Jordan he respects people who miss shots more than he respects people who don't even take the shot.
Oh, did he say that?
Shoot your shot, Dr. F.
Shoot your shot.
Keep shooting it until the world
was he mad when Wayne Gretzky said that almost exact same thing? Because I would be so annoyed.
Yeah. What the actual fuck? Wayne, answer your phone, Wayne. It's not funny, Wayne.
I can see you on ice.
Okay.
We must wrap this up.
Yes. Such a great time. Thank you so much, Tim.
Dr. F, Dr. F, we hope you got the advice you needed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Tim.
For having us and being with us.
Thank you for letting me be your guest. I really appreciate it.
Our guest and sound engineer, a kind of dastardly Dr. Moreau kind of hybrid combination.
I've created a monster. I'm away from prying government eyes. I've got my own islands that I can combine guest and engineer.
I can riff and record.
It's a monster.
It's an abomination.
Don't let it breed.
And send us your questions to the link on our socials.
Yeah, that's right. And if you want to find more of Tim, please search out the Hunks podcast.
Yes, the beautiful, brilliant Hunks podcast.
Yes, that's Tim's Winnipeg sketch troupe.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for giving us your questions, which you must do.
And
thank you, Mark.
Be well.
Be well.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.